Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Hello, welcome to Know the Faith, Defend the Faith. My name is William Hemsworth, and thank you for joining me on this week's episode. This show is brought to you by the Tucson Institute of Catholic Apologetics, so please visit the website at tucsonapologetics.org. All right, this week's topic is a very important topic. Recently, a Pew Research study concluded that basically a majority of Catholics don't believe the church teaching about the Eucharist. So I'm going to do two shows this week about the Eucharist. One is about the biblical teaching of the Eucharist and the early church belief of what the Eucharist is. That way we get, that'll give an overview of the church's teaching. And at the end of the week, I'm going to put a PDF up, kind of a mini course, if you will, on the Eucharist, the Old Testament prefigurations all the way through the scripture, the New Testament, the early church fathers, to what the church teaches today. That way it's just kind of like a mini course, if you will. But, so some claim that the doctrine of the Eucharist is not found in Scripture. And so today we're going to deal with the scriptural teaching of the Eucharist, the Scripture passages in there. So the Last Supper narratives all describe Jesus as saying, "This is my body. This is my blood." And we see that in Matthew 26, 17 through 30, Mark 14, 12 through 25, Luke 22, 7 through 20, and John 13, 1 through 30. And St. Paul also writes about the body and blood of Christ and the breaking of bread in 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17, and 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. Now, perhaps the strongest biblical evidence is from Christ himself. In addition to the Last Supper narratives, in John 6, 22 through 59, which is known as the Bread of Life discourse. Excuse me. In this discourse, Christ loses followers because he is speaking literally about his body and blood. Now, to understand these verses fully, we have to look at some Old Testament passages, because these New Testament verses employ a theological term known as typology. And typology studies events and institutions that foreshadow something greater that is to come. Now, regarding this, Dr. Scott Hahn writes, quote, "The basis of the study, of such study, is the belief that God, who providentially shapes and determines the course of human events, infuses those events with a prophetic and theological significance." And that's from the Catholic Bible Dictionary that he wrote. Now, understanding typology helps us understand salvation history as something fluid and not as periods that are broken up and are independent of each other. You see, because God does not change. And the subtle clues that he gives us in the Old Testament find their final fulfillment in the pages of the New Testament. With that said, we see the beginnings of the Eucharist in the pages of the Old Testament, and there are two items. There are more, obviously, but I'm just going to touch on two of them here that are significant for our discussion here. Those two things are the bread of the presence in the temple and the manna in the desert. Now, the story of the manna in the desert takes place in the book of Exodus. Moses, through the grace of God, he led the children out of Egyptian bondage. Though they were in bondage in Egypt, they ate really well. They roamed through the desert and they began to complain about how much better off they were in Egypt. And in Exodus 16:2, we read, quote, "The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." They were understandably afraid and didn't know where their next meal was coming from, because it was always provided for them in Egypt. Moses took their concerns before the Lord, and the Lord responded. And we hear that response in Exodus 16:4, where the Lord says, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." This miraculous bread was brought down from heaven every morning, and the Israelites were to pick as much as they needed for the day. This is a foreshadowing of Christ, of what Christ says in the Bread of Life discourse in John chapter 6. In that discourse, Jesus says that he is true manna that came down from heaven. Now, the Bread of Life discourse takes up most of John 6, but only a few verses. I'm only going to cover a few verses. We'll cover more later on, but just in connection to the manna of the desert in the book of Exodus. In John 6:32, Jesus tells the Jews that Moses was not the one that gave the bread from heaven, but the Father gives them true bread from heaven. Jesus is using present tense verbs, not past tense, as if he were simply discussing something that Moses did. The Jews long for the bread that Jesus describes, and he shifts the conversation from the manna that gave the Israelites life to the true bread. And Jesus says this in John 6:35, which says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." In John 6:41, the Jews are complaining to Jesus because he said that he is the bread of life. When Jesus is encountered, the Jews could not understand that they could be feeding on the living God. Now, both John 6:41 and Exodus 16:2 state that the Jews started complaining. They both started complaining over something that they believed to be literal. The manna in the desert was a real event, as was Jesus saying that his flesh must be eaten. Now, though the Jews were complaining, just like the Israelites in the wilderness, mind you, he repeats himself. In John 6:51, Christ says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now, it's interesting to note that the Jews not only complained, but they became upset. They became indignant, if you will. They asked among themselves, how could Christ give us his flesh to eat? This leads to a very important question that's at the heart of this next couple shows. If our Lord were speaking metaphorically, why would the Jews take him literally? The question they asked among themselves is literal in nature. Jesus understood the confusion, and he raised the ante. In fact, with his next phrase, he would remove all doubt, and his audience would know exactly what he meant. In John 6:53, Jesus states, quote, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." In this verse, Jesus uses a different Greek verb for the word eat. The verb used by Christ is a Greek word trogo, and it means to gnaw, to munch, to crunch. The word is never meant as a literary metaphor in the Greek language, and is always used in a literal fashion. At this saying, many of those who were following Christ left. They left. They left because they knew what he meant, and that meaning was literal. He then turned to the 12 disciples in John 6:61 and asked if they were offended and wanted to leave. Many will say that Jesus also said that he was the door, the vine, and true, he did say those things. However, he never willingly lost followers from those statements. The comparison between Exodus 16 and John 6 shows that manna was a prefiguration of the Eucharist. As Pope Benedict XVI said, quote, The mystery of the Eucharist reveals the true manna, the true bread from heaven. It is God's Logos made flesh who gave himself up for us in the Paschal mystery. Now, the bread of the presence is also a foreshadowing of the Eucharist in the Old Testament. According to Exodus 25:30, this bread was to be continually before the Lord. This bread stood as a reminder to all who saw it that God was continually present. The bread was placed on a golden table outside of the Holy of Holies, and every Sabbath new bread would be placed, and priests would eat the old. Four times per year, on major feast days, the bread of the presence was shown to the people to remind them that God was with them. The bread of the presence reaches its fulfillment in Christ, who institutes it in the Eucharistic celebration, as it is Christ who sustains our spiritual life. Now, the connection between the bread of the presence is not lost on a lot of our Protestant friends. In fact, Protestant biblical scholar Paul Carlin states, quote, "The specially made bread that lay on an ornate table in the holy place in the tabernacle pictures Christ as the one who sustains spiritual life. The bread consisted of 12 loaves for the 12 tribes of Israel. In the new covenant, Jesus 12 disciples to represent the same. As the priests in the Old Testament lifted the bread to show the people that God was with them, Jesus does the same at the Last Supper. Using the principles of typology and what Jesus stated in John chapter 6, we see Jesus in his role as high priest offer himself to be eaten by his disciples. This is done every day in the celebration of the Eucharist at Mass. So far we've discussed two Old Testament preludes to the Eucharist. So what about the New Testament? Now, for this, we want to look at the Last Supper narratives in the New Testament, but specifically the Gospel of Matthew is what I'm going to focus on. The sequence of events is similar as Jesus takes the bread, and like he says in Matthew 26:26, "Take, eat, this is my body." The word is a crucial component when it comes to the Eucharist. The Greek word used is esti, which is a third-person singular verb, which means to be. What's even more interesting as far as this word is concerned is its origins. The word esti has its root in the present infinitive Greek verb enai. It means to be, to exist, to be present. In Matthew 26:27, Jesus then states, quote, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, a study of the Greek language is a good starting point, but it has a very real connection to the Passover. The Gospels are clear and state that Jesus and the disciples gathered to celebrate the Passover. The Passover meal was done to remember the Exodus event and was a sacrificial meal in its own right. Prior to Passover, a lamb would be slaughtered and the whole lamb had to be consumed. The Passover was a community feast and parallels the gathering that we see with Jesus and the disciples. During the meal, the head of the table would make comments and it was ritualistic in nature. There was a formula that was followed. Jesus did not follow the prescribed formula and said the words mentioned above in Matthew 26:26-27. He also commanded the disciples to follow his lead and to do this act in the future. Now, there are a couple other ways in which a Last Supper deviates from the traditional Passover meal. There was no roasted lamb. This is important because Jesus took the place of the Passover lamb. When Christ said the words of institution, the bread and wine that were present became his body, which was the sacrifice of the new covenant given for the sins of the world. Guys, these are just some of the many scriptures that we can go into to discuss the meaning, the biblical meaning of the Eucharist. As the Catechism states, the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. Let's proclaim that. Later on this week, I'll be posting another show about the early church teaching on the Eucharist. And I hoped that this podcast was beneficial today. Because the Eucharist is everything. It's Jesus himself. Guys, please visit my website at TucsonApologetics.org. And if you're in Arizona, I'm available to do speaking events, and there's no charge if you're in Arizona. If you're outside of Arizona, I just ask that travel be covered, but no speaking fee or anything like that. God bless you all. Thank you for joining me on this week's episode. Have a fantastic week. God bless you all.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.